Yeah, yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I'm Sin City Steve, being joined by Rob Bossolari at Yo. Vegas Trump Guy. How you doing, Rob?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. We had a hell of a lot of wrestling.
Oh, my God. You had Fighter Fest. You had freaking, what are we talking about? Also, Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Worlds Collide. Fighter Fest and Money in the Bank. Worlds Collide. You had a gecko in the ring.
We'll definitely talk about Mr. Iguana. Don't worry.
Chad Gable wrestling twice.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's Chad Gable. What are you talking about, Cole? That's a bloody Chad Gable. It's Americano. It's Grande Bloody Americano.
Exactly. Well, dude, let's just jump right in. Let's talk about the event that carried the weekend. And that is Money in the Bank, which was live from the Intuit Dome in Los Angeles on Saturday, June 11th. And let's just kick right off from the very top of the show and run that down. As we had Naomi walking out with the Money in the Bank briefcase. She is your Ms. Money in the Bank for 2025. And honestly, dude, I love this move. Absolutely love it. I said that they would give it to somebody else when we did our predictions, but to be totally real, I was worried that they were going to have, you know, Jade come down and, you know, cost her the match and all this other kind of shit. Now you can have her cost Naomi the cash in, which hasn't been done on the women's side. So, and even if you do have a successful cash in for Naomi, she is taking to her new heel character like a freaking duck to water, bro. Like, she is so good as a heel. It makes me question why they didn't do this sooner.
She's good as a heel. I don't like proceed with caution. She says it awkwardly. She needs a better catchphrase. That's
one of those WWE.
With caution. And I'm like, ah, what are you doing? Like, you could tell she's not really comfortable saying it.
Yeah.
But what her actions are in the ring are great.
Yeah.
They're lining up with somebody who's doing a good job.
That's the thing, man. Like, you can tell when something's being forced, but, you know, once we get past the forced WWE/TKO catchphrase that they're having her to spout, then, you know, obviously I think that she's done extremely well with the character, and that's only going to continue. So good stuff there.
I wish she would go by the name Trinity, though. I wish she would say, hey, Naomi is a baby face. It's not who I am. My real name is Trinity, and it allows you so many more options.
Yeah.
It gives you so many more avenues.
You could definitely go in a lot more avenues for sure. As with the case with a lot of the matches on Money in the Bank, there were moments in each match that kind of, I don't want to say overshadowed the match result, but just kind of looking back over this show, yes, the results were what they were, but in nearly every match, you had something happen that kind of overshadowed the actual match decision. And in the women's match, let's be real. This happened. There was the devil's kiss on the top of the ladders.
Yep.
And obviously the fans loved that so much so that commentary chose to call that the most popular move in all of professional wrestling, which, you know, I'd be hard pressed to not agree with that, if you will.
I was, and I, you know, and you did ask me, and it completely slipped my mind today, as I'm often absent-minded. For me, that was a good moment, but the good moment was the dueling finishers between Alexa Bliss and Rhea Ripley. That was the very end of the match and allowed Naomi to come in and grab the victory. Naomi's victory was not as big as the other spots that happened in that match. That whole Women's Money in the Bank was well designed to put everyone over.
I agree with that.
It put everyone over.
The thing that, and we'll get to it in a bit, but dare I say, I actually liked the Women's Money in the Bank match more than I did the men's. And that says something.
Because it didn't do that for the men.
No, not at all, man.
Spots.
Yes.
But that was it.
Yeah, you didn't set every competitor up for something possibly down the road. Whereas realistically, you could make the argument that it allowed for new paths to be forged and, you know, storylines to be continued on the women's side of things. So very interesting. Speaking of women, we have a new women's Intercontinental Champion. Becky Lynch knocks off Lyra Valkyria. I hear you groaning, Rob. Talk to me. What's your thoughts?
First of all, Michael Cole again, because it works both ways. He wants to frame the match as Lyra Valkyria lost because Becky Lynch grabbed the tights. No, she didn't. There were no tights. She just grabbed her ass, palmed it, flipped her over on her back. It was a clean win. It was a completely clean win.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when you try to frame these things and your narration is not lining up with what's going on there. If you want to approach it from the supporting the babyface angle, you go, you know what? She lost. And now we're going to have to deal with the arrogance of a Becky Lynch. And you go, that's it. That's fine. But when they, oh, did you grab the tights? No. And then
she palmed a cheek like a basketball, man. You hit the nail on the head.
It was clean. It was a clean win. And I know why they're doing this. You don't take the belt off Lyra Valkyria if she's over. She's right. Not over. She is quirky, but quirky isn't over. And quirky doesn't have a command of the crowd or the mic. She still sounds like a little sister lashing out at her bigger sister. And she's got to get past that. But think about when Becky Lynch started and she was a Irish last kicker doing her little, you know, river walk down the ramp. And that was embarrassing. Then she was steampunk and she got a little bit of traction with that. And then she took a fist to the face when they didn't know what to do with her. And when they gave her the fist to the face, she was a freaking trying to be a heel. And they couldn't turn her. The crowd, no matter what they did. Heel Becky Lynch is, high school word, exasperating. She's just exasperating because there's no payoff to beating her. If you beat her, you, this non-baby, well, this baby face who isn't over, doesn't get anything off it. And she's either going to have another stupid redemption arc or nothing. And now you throw Bailey into the mix, and Lyra Valkyria is looking at Bailey going, hey, this is my time. So you're using the vets to put this girl over. I don't think she's going to get over on it. I think Lyra Valkyria is going to get lost in the shuffle, like so many others. And it's a 20-80 game, right? 80%, you know, 20% make it. She's going to get lost in the shuffle quick. Nobody cares about rings in the wool. What's there? Nobody cares about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that wooing in the entrance theme can only take you so far. I mean, you gotta develop that connection with the audience for sure.
She doesn't have it.
No, I totally get you on that, man. You and I are aligned with that. Elsewhere on the show, in an impromptu match set up earlier in the day from Worlds Collide, which we'll talk about in a bit, Dominic Mysterio. Defended and successfully retained his Intercontinental Championship, defeating Octagon Jr. in a match. I think that's pretty much what we can call it. It was okay. It did allow some fans to be acquainted with Octagon and what all he can do in that ring. But this was definitely just more of a showcase match for Dom, and deservedly so. I mean, this dude is he's on an amazing run right now. And like him and or hate him,
he can wrestle. He can wrestle. That's,
absolutely.
I would like to see, and again, just me. He's pulling down Mad Poon right now. I want to see if this guy's got some abs going. I don't understand what the rubber little fucking skeleton. I want to see the guy just come out there, take some chops, bare chest, really, really show some ruggedness, if at all possible.
So what you're saying is that you want to see a bare-chested Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. Right. I'm ready. You know, let's ditty this up. Get the oil.
that'll be no, later.
I want to see that, but I understand that all of his ring attire, it comes from different luchador history, and he's paying homage to a lot of people. If you thought it was just – I don't know all of the elements, but the boots, the fur boots were from one wrestler. He looks like La Parca the way he's dressed. I mean, fine. I want to see him get rugged and take some good chops. He still comes off like he's 12, no matter what he does. His balls never dropped. When you listen to him speak, you're like, what the fuck? You know?
Right.
Hey, man, I want my chicken tendies. And you're like, yeah. It's funny, but my gripe is it's not – there should not be – even though he's wrestling well, there should not be a comic relief intercontinental champion. That's my gripe about it, kind of.
If you're going to do a champion in WWE, at least it's a secondary champion. Because lest I remind you, for a considerable amount of time, this man was viewed as being the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, yet he was a 100% comedy gimmick. And I'm talking about the Honky Tonk Man. That's a guy who held that championship for longer than anybody until Gunther broke his streak. A lot of people viewed him as being, you know, one of the best intercontinental champions. That guy was a straight up 100% comedy gimmick. So it can work from time to time.
Yeah, but that was 40 years ago.
Exactly.
And my thing is 40 years ago, everything was kind of a gimmicky, schlocky. Hulk Hogan and turn my shirt off, and you couldn't do any of that shit. Now you laugh at anything that came out that all of these guys, like Saturday Disco Inferno, Val Venus, everything from like 20 years behind is all gimmicky. Yeah. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the Godfather an IC champ at one point?
Yeah, because he had the Ho train with him.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Now. When I also think about the Attitude Era, though, I think of Kurt Angle. I think of Chris Benoit. I think of Jericho. And I used to think to myself, Jesus Christ, the B matches are insane. When China held that belt and had Kat in her corner, and she was dueling Jericho, and Jericho tied her to the chair and hit her hands with hammers.
Right.
Right. That was insane because she was wrestling. And she didn't, and she was selling all the time. These IC matches were like top level matches. Yeah. And now I see it's a guy in the back eating chicken tendies, and he's fighting over like fucking teeny bopper girlfriends, you know, like some, you know, new, like, you know, New Jersey skanks. Like, hey, you know, I got my New Jersey skank over here, you know. She's going to give me wicked head out there in Wawa, you know. Hey, she's going to take me down to the Jersey Shore, man, you know. Play with my freaking Guerreros, you know what I mean? You know, it's
Are you talking about the Jersey Shore? Or are you talking like the North Dakota fucking shore?
North Dakota?
Bro, you just jumped into that northern accent.
I don't know why. I don't know why I went there.
It's all good, man.
Hey, bro, come on. You know, I got, here we go. I fixed it. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I don't know why I went there. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's all good. Moving forward, to the surprise of nearly no one, Seth Rollins is your Money in the Bank winner on the men's side. Honestly, the story with this is what happened in the match. Exactly. I'm not going to lie to you, man. This match just did not do it for me.
I don't love you, Oos. Right.
And again, again, your match result got overshadowed by Jacob Fatu pulling Solo Sikoa off the top of the ladder. And now I think we know our either Night of Champions or SummerSlam match for that U.S. Championship.
Pause. Now, I did not watch SmackDown. And Cole goes on SmackDown that Solo Sikoa basically gave Fatu the riot act and said, you don't love me, you're only here because of me, et cetera, et cetera. I'm paraphrasing. So when you do that the night before, that you're going to, oh my God, that's the kind of lame ass shit WWE used to do, where they put it out there. Like, if this guy knows, you look, we're all smart guys. We even have a basic education. You're going to go, wait a minute, tomorrow night, I'm going to get the opportunity to get the Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm going to kiss this guy's fucking ass. I have nobody else. The Tongans are gone.
Right.
Jimmy is gone. Jay's got his own problems. We'll get to that.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. All of the family members are gone. I'm going to threaten a title holder to go and be my freaking bodyguard heavy. All right, fine. So we wonder what's going to happen. Oh, my God. This is such a surprise. The only cool thing in that match was when El Grande Americano threw the ladder on the other ladder and ran diagonally up it.
That was dope.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a spot, you know? That was the Blue Thunder Bomb of the match, where you're like, it's cool, but it's not going to amount to shit. I don't remember anything else for that, except that Seth Rollins got it, and I did not care. Right. I don't care.
I mean, the main reason why I picked it on the prediction show is because I could see this coming a mile away. You just give this guy a new faction, and predictability is going to be the way that they're going to go. So why not give him the briefcase as well? He's going to cash in. And it remains to be seen just who he's going to cash in on. We'll definitely talk about some of the latest happenings that happened tonight, earlier tonight on Raw, here in just a minute. But we still have to talk about the main event from Money in the Bank, in which we saw John Cena actually get pinned by Cody Rhodes as Cena and Logan Paul lose to Cody Rhodes and the Yeet Man himself, Jey Uso, after, again, events in the match that overshadowed the outcome of the match. And yes, I'm talking about Ron Killings making his presence felt. And right there, you actually have him tweeting out, no work. So contrary to the press conference after the show, when Triple H was asked if this was all part of the show, and he simply said, oh, are you enjoying the show? It's all part of the show. I think that we have it right there from Truth, Ron Killings himself. No work. So the fans have spoken, and dare I say, this is awesome. I love when WWE or TKO in this case listen to the fans, and when they make their voices heard, shit can happen. So. Yeah, any kind of thoughts on that main event or
Here's the thing. I'm annoyed again because yes, this overshadowed the event. The event was pointless. It should have been Gunther in that match, but they also set up that Gunther's not going to get in that match because he's just going to end up wearing himself out, and that played into what happens tonight. With regards to our Ron Killings, R-Truth entering. You have no receipt for Cody. Cody is getting nutshotted. He's getting walloped in the face with belts. There's no receipt for him. He's being embarrassed. And that's a problem, that the guy is still trying to go so hardcore syrupy babyface that it's costing him opportunities. But he won, Rob. No, he didn't. He didn't win anything. He got nothing off that. He gets nothing off that. All right? It was a filler match. It was a filler match. Okay, the Maverick, Logan Paul gets nothing off that. All right? Nothing happens. Now, R-Truth's back. The reason why it's important that R-Truth is back is because he knew that he was playing a filler role for a long time, and he has been a champion. If you have been a champion and your body is in meticulous shape at age 53 and you were showing up to work every week and you were probably doing house shows, which is still physically demanding, and then they're going to use you as a 24/7 champion, which is a watered-down version of the hardcore belt, because the hardcore belt was defended all the time. You'd see Crash Holly running around in circles. Hardcore Holly running around circles. So you're doing this now to this guy who's been a TNA World Heavyweight Champion, who can actually play serious characters, and you've misused him. And so you get rid of him, and the fans go, well, fuck you. So what's the real story? The real story is they said, hey, you're not fired. We're just not renewing your contract. Then the hoopla happens with the, the IWC. And H goes, well, I guess I got to call you back. And he goes, fuck you. Go sit on it for a while now. Understand what my value is. Put some respect on my name, like he said tonight. And it took a call from Nick Khan. If Nick Khan is calling you, that means you are worth something now. Now, he gets in the ring tonight. I don't know if you got to see this segment.
No.
He gets in the ring tonight. If I'm not mistaken, it was right after the Lyra Valkyria, little Bailey, Becky Lynch interplay. He jumps up onto the podium. Wade Barrett's there tonight. Michael Cole, like Jesus came up. He takes off his stuff and he goes, I've been a comic relief. I've been a joke all these years. My name is R-Truth, and everyone likes R-Truth, and I'm glad that you like R-Truth, but he's a character, and my name is Ron Killings. And just to show you how serious I am, he pulls out scissors and cuts off his hair.
Oh, shit.
He cut off his hair. Dope. And when he did that, he took his hair like this, he rang it in his hands, and he goes, I'm done with that. You will put some respect on my name. Hell yeah. And now here's the thing. This is why sometimes I don't like WWE announcers, because they are so fucking full of themselves. Not to say that Tony Schiavone's any gem. But, hey, Fyter Fest, when that show started, he wasn't there. He wasn't behind the commentary. He was in the ring. He did his little old school, hey there, what's going on? And then he shut the fuck up. They put Ian Riccaboni there. Good choice.
Yep.
Ian Riccaboni can call matches. Schiavone can't. I digress. Truth is now, at least at this moment in time, as long as WWE doesn't do what they usually do, Truth is a competitor again. He's a normal wrestler now. They'll bald him up, give him some. I know, again, in the hair, his hairline was gone from all the braiding. I can tell you right now, don't braid once. This is what you get. But seriously, he looks like a lethal person now. He also is a person that we know, when he was Ron Killings in TNA, can cut some savage promos. He was a heel character as a champion in TNA. Yes. He was this like conspiracy theory type guy. He was dark and brooding, and he is so versatile that you could throw him anywhere. I would like to see him go to AEW and fight somebody like a Briscoe, and go, I'm going to clown you because you're acting like a fucking Delaware clown. I could see him going after a Jericho. I could see him having serious matches. By the way, who don't you see tonight? You don't see Rusev. Oh, but wait a minute. This is big. It's Rusev, and he's beating up on Comic Relief. So he's gone. Done.
Because he doesn't want to lose. It's the exact same shit that happened in AEW.
He's gone. He's automatically gone. You know what? The best way I can equate his career, think about EC3 when he got to WWE. He came in the suit and the tie. He went, Renee, I'm here. I'm going to be great. I'm going to, you know, this is going to be great. I'm a Carter and I'm better than you. He was doing that. I'm better than you. And you know it before MJF was, and yeah. It took him nowhere. Then they had him in a food fight segment. That was his last time you really saw him. They had a food fight segment and he's like this. Because they'll buy you just to spite the other guys. Cause he could be good. We found out he was good elsewhere, but when it comes to R-Truth, I'm surprised that he did it for as long as he did, where he said, I'm okay being comic relief.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of times those comic gimmicks have a very limited shelf life, and R-Truth definitely, he got the absolute most out of that comedy gimmick that anybody has, dare I say, in the history of WWE.
He acknowledged it to the fans. He goes, I appreciate that you like R-Truth. He's funny. He's joking, but he also he gets abused.
Yeah,
and he's too forgiving. Those were his words. He goes, and R-Truth is too forgiving. Also, that rise in his voice, different voice, different demeanor, much different individual. Watch that, people. Watch it. The reason why he's important, Charmaine, is because once in a while, I was talking to Matt Michaels, who's recovering right now. He'll be back with us in a couple of weeks. And he goes, look, the fans and IWC, they think they control everything. They think they're better bookers than the actual bookers. Not all the time, but sometimes they are. Nobody was crying that Braun Strowman was gone. No. Because Braun Strowman has no mic skills.
Correct.
Braun Strowman runs around the ring like Braun Breaker, but nobody cares.
Right.
Oh, get these hands.
Yeah.
Not cut a promo. Can't do it.
Nope.
Can R-Truth cut promos for
eons?
Absolutely. You slept on this guy.
Yep. And you know, speaking of your quote that you just threw out there, that they will buy you just to spite the other guys. Speaking of that, we also had another pay-per-view this weekend, a PLE this weekend. Worlds Collide came to you earlier on Saturday morning. 11:30 a.m. Pacific time from the Kia Forum right across the street. This was a co-promoted show, WWE NXT and AAA. So on this show, just to run down results really quick, Octagon Jr., Aerostar, and Mr. Iguana. Yeah, Mr. Iguana, the MVP of the weekend, by the way. Look at that guy, man. Mm. He's gonna.
It's so good.
He turned a lot of heads, man. He got a lot of shine this weekend. They defeated the Latino World Order, Dragon Lee and Cruz del Toro, and Lince Dorado. So that was a 14-minute match. Pretty solid stuff there. Again, giving American WWE main watching fans a taste, just a little taste of Lucha. And if nothing else, the one thing that I can hope for out of this entire show and this entire partnership or ownership of AAA is that WWE fans will now be able to fully appreciate Lucha Libre for what it is, and that is an art form. Speaking of the matches on this show, elsewhere, we had Stephanie Vaquer and Lola Vice defeating Chick Tormenta and Dalis in a 9-minute match. You had the double devil's kiss. That was the highlight of the match there. How could it not be? Elsewhere, you had Legado del Fantasma, Escobar, Angel, and Berto defeating El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., Pagano, and Psycho Clown by pinfall in 15 minutes, right on the nose. So this was your trios match that you would expect to see on maybe even AEW TV. This was a very solid match. I don't know if you had the opportunity to check it out, Rob, but you could easily have placed this match on an episode of Collision, on an episode of Dynamite, and it would have been right at home.
Well, here's what I'd say. First of all, I did forget about one point, which was Wade Barrett and Michael Cole almost chuckling when R-Truth came out and cut that promo, which was not bueno. And also, those fuckers cannot pronounce. It's El Hijo de Vikingo.
Yeah, exactly. So we had
Vikingo this weekend, and Vikingo is here, and he did a bloody good job, Vikingo. And I'm going, These are the whitest guys you know.
Yep.
And I think this is going to be another Ring of Honor type scenario.
Yep.
They will throw them in the audience once in a while. They will shuffle a couple of them up there. But for the most part, this is not going to leave the right. backyards of Mexico unless somebody is so goddamn over that it's undeniable. That's the only way. It has to be undeniable. Vikingo, yes. They'd see dollar signs with him. They know
absolutely.
That.
How could they not? How could they not? And you know, elsewhere on Worlds Collide, we had Ethan Page successfully defending his NXT North American Championship over Javon Evans, Laredo Kid, and Rey Fénix. That one was just under 15 minutes. And then, last but not least, your main event for Worlds Collide was El Hijo del Vikingo defeating Chad Gable. In 22 minutes to successfully retain his AAA Mega Championship. Honestly, I do freaking love Chad Gable's in-ring work, dude. He's phenomenal. And it's about time that he's seeing the love that he deserves for his character work now. We've known that he can go in the ring for a long time, but his character work is now getting the praise that it has deserved for quite some time as well.
So this isn't Shorty G country. And what I'll say with this one is it's still comic relief level stuff, even though there's great wrestling behind it. Don't want to say that there's not sound wrestling behind it. You know, this isn't like hey, so often then you cut a promo and you can't wrestle. This yeah. is great in-ring work. If this runs its course and they unmask him as El Grande Americano, which will happen probably, I would imagine, SummerSlam.
SummerSlam at this point. Has to be.
Yep. So SummerSlam, he's unmasked. And once that happens, where does American Made go? Because everything that is happening right now with American Made is revolving around him. The same way that everything is happening right now with Rollins, which his group doesn't even, his faction doesn't even have a name. You know, again, the whole thing revolves around him cashing in. Once that does not happen, that whole faction is going to evaporate quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely. Going to evaporate quickly. Now, if he gets the championship, you already know where that's going to be. He's going to defend me, to defend my belt. Hey, but when do we get belt opportunities? Never.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously, here was one of the last images that you saw. El Hijo del Vikingo on the shoulders, being lifted up, carried. And I think there's more lucha masks on right there in that shot than many WWE fans are used to seeing an entire episode of WWE TV. So we'll see how that goes, man. But add it all up, it comes out to being a massive weekend. This info from PWP Nation, these are all approximations and estimates. WWE Worlds Collide, they sold roughly 11,000 tickets for a gate of approximately $649,000. Money in the Bank, 16,000 sold with a gate of $3.5 million. And UFC 316 at the Prudential Center, 17,000 tickets, 17,300 for $6.5 million. Added up, the numbers don't lie, 44,300 tickets for $10,700,000 for TKO. Damn.
All right.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Now, with that said, you still have Rey Mysterio as the biggest face on the flyer, even though he's not even really in the show that night.
Exactly.
How long are they going to, if they do decide to push AAA to the moon, which I don't think they're going to, until you go, hey, we've got legitimate talent here that we could put them on the flyer and really put some steam behind them.
Like this guy.
Mr. Iguana.
I'm telling you, dude, this guy is, that's your breakout star coming from AAA, outside of obviously Vikingo. But between Vikingo and Mr. Iguana, yeah. You've got some breakout stars.
I hope they get used. And I think a fair place for them to go would be NXT. If you're going to break them in NXT. As far as the Latin world stuff, I think my only thing with WWE, and it's not a mega complaint, I can already hear Michaels rolling in his bed right now, recovering, going, you know what, Rob? But they've got a lot of disjointed factions. You've got, you know, the LWO, and kind of disjointed. They need to solidify some of these things and really, really, if they're going to do it, not have these pseudo factions.
Correct.
And for God's sakes, the fucking Judgment Day. I'm so over these people too. I'm just good night for Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
You know, Dominic Mysterio gets to dunk his tendies in more sauces.
Yeah, nice. Speaking of dunking, WrestleMania Vegas is coming back next year. So nice. They're doing it twice. Saturday, April 18th and Sunday, April 19th. 2026 live from the Allegiant Stadium here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh man, Rob, right when your wallet was going to be recovering.
So here's the thing. I learned my lesson, and I'm going to say this to any of the local, anybody, don't buy the tickets. They're already sending out emails and feelers.
Yep.
Don't buy the fucking tickets. Wait. I spent $2,500. One of my buddies in the comedy scene spent $800 for night one and was closer to the hard cam ring than I was.
Damn.
Okay?
Yeah.
He was in the Modelo area. So if you're in hard cam and you're in the center, or lower deck in the center, you're going to go to the Modelo lounge. The food's going to be about $15 for a great portion, perfect portion of food. The beer is going to be reasonably priced. And the shirts were what you expect, $40 to $50 to $100. And everything was good, which kind of tries to soften up the blow of how badly I was freaking anally raped. Okay? I'm still bleeding rectally over here. You know, I should be in the hospital, not Matt.
Oh, shit.
Now.
Speaking of Matt Michaels, get better soon, brother.
Yes.
I know you're dealing with a lot right now. But
I'm a schmuck of a friend. I'm like, hey, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? And he goes, did I see what? And I'm like, you know, Money in the Bank. And he goes, yeah. And here, dude.
Yep.
I asked for a painkiller an hour ago, nurse. I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah. Had a little elective surgery there so we can become a more streamlined and ripped Matt Michaels.
That's right.
And he's going to look, I'm not putting it all out there, but I'm dancing the edge. Yeah. I'm dancing the edge.
Matt's going to come out better than he went in. Absolutely.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
He still had a 1 hour conversation with me on the phone. So even in pain, he was still. And then the phone died and he called me back and continued where his last thought was. Don't buy the fucking tickets to. No. Don't do it. Wait. Literally the day before. So now, could you end up getting screwed over?
Of course.
Maybe. Was it a good experience? Great experience. Allegiant's an amazing stadium. One of my favorite places. I don't give a fuck about the Raiders.
Right.
You know, I got the Raiders hat because it says Vegas on it and it's our colors. That's it. I don't give a shit about the Raiders. But Allegiant is a good stadium.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience, but not $2,500 great, which would have had me ringside less than a decade ago.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of being ringside, let's fast forward to something that just happened tonight on Monday Night Raw. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a new world heavyweight champion as Gunther reclaimed his championship. As Jey Uso passes out to the sleeper, and Gunther is your new world heavyweight champion once more. I gotta go to this reaction that came in right after from iBeastless, not even on a pay-per-view, a fucking Raw episode. I genuinely want to cry. I love this reign. The vibes, the feels, Jey deserved better. This isn't fucking fair. All the fucking bitching every week from bunch of complaining, ungrateful dickheads, and Triple H caved. Fucking pussy. Fuck off. This company stinks. Fuck WWE. At Roman Reigns, please come back. This dreadful organization needs your touch. Oh, man.
Who's at iBeast?
Some dumb, stupid ass that this tweet went fucking viral right after the episode of Raw tonight. So, yeah, just some nobody. Some individual in the IWC. You know how the IWC is, but yeah. I just had to show some reaction to the events. Rob, your thoughts?
This had to happen. Number one, it's good that a title can change hands on Monday Night Raw, and that Raw means something.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it like the last year of, you know, WCW, where it was like every other month. It was like a new fucking, you know, Jimmy Russo was Vince Russo kept changing the belt and flipping it around. It's got to mean something. Now, you know, I don't like the World Heavyweight belt. It should be the WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes.
And they go back and forth between the two promotions. Agreed. It gives them an opportunity to work any type of schedule they want. And there you go. And if you want a feud to happen on SmackDown, then you have some Fridays. And if you want the feud to happen on Raw, then you have Mondays. That's what it was when SmackDown was introduced. Triple H would go on both shows. The Rock would go. You don't even have to go on both shows. I'm going to stick to that one. And yes, I get it. It's a lot of work. But I'm going to stick with that one. I don't give a fuck. The Intercontinental belt should be elevated to the level of what the World Heavyweight belt is. And the U.S. Championship should be elevated from that point, too. Instead of just being considered like afterthoughts. Because as I said earlier, the IC belt was not an afterthought belt. That was used like, you know. Yeah. So with that said now, Jey Uso cannot cut a promo. He gets tongue-tied. What did they do to him? He sat there and he does one of these. And I'm not trying to make fun. I don't think he can keep up. He'll go. And he doesn't know what to say. And he looks like he's looking and thinking for words. You have to be able to cut a promo. You have to be able to get the fans behind you. The best thing that he did as of late, and he's got the fans, yes.
He's got the fans.
Yes, that's why he has fans.
But promo,
no. And when the last promo and the only promo that he ever cut in modern times that was good, was when they beat the shit out of Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm not afraid of you anymore, Oos. I'm not afraid. And I was like, okay, now you've impressed me. But the ability to have catchphrases. But Rob, he says, yeet. No. Jericho and The Rock and Stone Cold and even Triple H had a vocabulary.
Right.
This guy doesn't. It's the same reason why Lyra Valkyria is not going to go anywhere anytime soon. It's the same reason why I roll my eyes when Becky Lynch gets it. A lot of these people. It's the same reason why Nia Jax, after fighting in the Men's Royal Rumble, and then the following day her response was, did you see that? I was in the Men's Royal Rumble. Wasn't that incredible? That was me. Whereas Chelsea Green, on the other hand, can do the Karen gimmick and then wrestle well in the ring. So you have an obnoxious gimmick, and then you wrestle well in the ring, and I'm engrossed in it. Let's go to TNA. Let's go to TNA with Rosemary. Rosemary talks about the underworld and the dark place, and she gets into it, and she changes up her costuming just a little bit, and she tweaks it over time. Oh, she had a knee brace. She tore up her, you know, MCL or ACL or whatever. And then she didn't anymore, and she lost weight, and she rolls with it and evolves.
Yeah.
I'm Courtney now. So she went back to her pre-Rosemary gimmick. She evolves.
Yep.
Taya Valkyrie was, I'm a Valkyrie, and now I'm some Mexican blonde chick. I'm some, and it didn't work outside of TNA.
Right.
So a lot of people who don't evolve, you don't change, you die. We say that in life. We say that in the corporate world. It's the same in wrestling. All right. So if your gimmick is you're going to do the wave and you're going to say yeet over and over again, and then Gunther sits down to you. You know what it looked like when Gunther was doing the last week's promos with him? It looked like a soccer coach talking to one of the students and just talking at him. He was talking down to him, but not in that disrespectful way. Almost like you're a kid to me. You are running yourself thin, getting in matches that you do not need to be in. I want you at 100%. What do you get from helping Cody Rhodes? Nothing. And you're going, that's not a dick thing to say. He's right.
Right.
He's right. And it makes him look fucking amazing. And he is the best, you know? He is the fucking best. And I feel that. So to the point where I'm like, you know what, in a year, please, I'm part of the IWC. I don't like the fucking World Heavyweight belt. I don't fucking like that shit at all. Because you're not the best. Because John Cena's running around. I'm the last real champ. Cody Rhodes said, I want the belt that my dad fought for. So you've said it so many times that World Heavyweight belt means nothing. And just fucking do it. If you're the champ, look, I'm applying for a job. It's gonna be 9 to 6 every day, and they're telling me when the winter hits around, I'm gonna have to work 6 days a week. Guess what? Don't like it. Suck it up, Buttercup. You want to be the champ? You want to get the big fucking dollar bills? You want to go coast to coast? You got a family? Hey, homie Seth Rollins and his wife were on the same brand for a reason.
Yep.
That girl's on there with them. She gets homeschooled. Ain't nobody cares. Mom and dad work out in the gym. They pork at night. They have salty Irish-Mexican freaking beer fart sex. You know, tacos and Guinness sex. Okay. Mr. Lopez and Miss Quinn. That's fine. But if homie decided tomorrow to become the world heavyweight universal WWE Grand Slam of all God and country champion, I would expect to see you on SmackDown once again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's just my expectations, because you can't have two world heavyweight belts.
Yeah.
And then try to sell me on this. By the way, AEW ain't going anywhere for a while. We'll talk about Fighter Fest maybe, but AEW is not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere, but actually that's a great segue, because there's been a lot of movement this week. There've been a lot of great moves this week. So let's talk about the one that caused the most reaction. Mariah May shows up in NXT. Obviously her contract expired at the end of May, pun intended. And it truly was the end of May in AEW. Now, obviously, they didn't refer to her by name, so she's getting repackaged, getting a new name entirely. So what, Mariah June? Yeah, exactly.
Mariah, I think they were calling it Mariah Marks or something stupid.
Mariah March.
Yeah, Mariah March, that was what it was.
No, please no. Please no.
But nothing was worse than Frankie Monet.
Oh, geez. That was up there with
Frankie Monet. So I'm going to show up and do my same gimmick with the name Frankie Monet. Yeah.
But, elsewhere, other people on the move. Alex Windsor, one of the more established women's wrestlers in all of Europe. She actually tweeted out that she was All Elite. So she signed her deal with AEW. She should be debuting very soon. And yes, for the record, she is Ms. Will Ospreay, but she got there on the merits of her own work. So she definitely will be contributing to the AEW women's division. And speaking of women going to other locations, we had Shotzi Blackheart show up in GCW's Tournament of Survival. And she was in a fucking death match. She was in a fucking death match. Obviously, don't want to show any of the images here. But she didn't leave anything in the ring. She left it all out there, man. So she's already doing her thing. So crazy, crazy stuff there. Also, this past week, we saw the return of Ty Mello to AEW TV. She was out on baby leave and showed up to save her friend Anna Jay as she was being attacked by Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, thus fueling more rumors of an AEW women's tag team division.
Please.
Please. Please. That's something that's needed, man. That's something that's needed.
Make it for what women they have and how they're using them. Make it worthwhile. So if they're going to be there and you're going to just put them in there, fine. Give them a fucking belt. You've got enough fucking belts over there anyway, so you might as well give them. Make it worthwhile. And
you know,
Hirakara, you know, now they're doing the fake kissing.
Yep.
With Tony Storm.
With Tony. Yeah. Hey, man.
They didn't do a kiss last time. She leaned over and mock kissed her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man. You gotta tease it. And then once it happens again, the fans will pop like crazy. But speaking of women's tag teams, over on TNA, we had a return of The Inspiration, the former Iconics from WWE. Mm. And they're back in the mix. Mm. I'll leave that up there for a little bit. They're back in the mix in TNA. And coming out to, attack the Elegance brand.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Definitely have been missed.
Is she with Shawn Spears?
Yes. Yes. She's with Spears. Cassie Lee.
Other.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, fuck the other one. Cassie Lee. Isn't.
Yeah. You don't want the chairman to wrap a chair around your head like you did Cody.
Well, we saw what happened, so I'm not concerned.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, making her debut this past week in AEW was Tekla, as she had what was needed in AEW. Finally, a debut match that didn't last 15 minutes, that wasn't 50-50. Tekla beat her in 2.5 minutes. Beat her by submission, and yeah, this was what was needed, man. But that was all part of the four-hour fighter fest that went down this past week. Obviously, it was headlined by Kenny Omega defeating Brody King, Mascara Dorada, and Claudio to retain his international championship. You had Jon Moxley beating Mark Briscoe in a rare singles match, but... I think Jon Moxley has officially passed the title of bleeding unnecessarily to Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, he took a hit to the ring post and was gushing.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Elsewhere on the show, you had, as you mentioned, Timeless Tony Storm and Mina Shirakawa.
That fake makeout session. Don't do that to me.
And they were in there against Julia Hart and Sky Blue. And who was watching on, but Mercedes Moné with the, look at that fucking steak.
That was the worst steak I've ever seen.
That thing is fucking burnt as shit.
It was great. And then she never ate it. That was the other thing. I know they were setting it up where Tony Storm was going to take the steak and eat it. But the entire match, I'm like, nibble at it. Like she was drinking
tease
the wine.
Something.
Do something. This entire match is going on and there's a steak there. Yeah. And she never touches it for the entire time. Then Tony Storm takes a fistful of it and you know, it was, whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. And then obviously you had FTR defeating Atlantis Jr. and Templario to no one's surprise. And obviously this was 4 hours of programming that...
you could have fit that in two or three.
You could have fit it in 3 hours. And of course, Tony Khan or someone in the office watches this show. And he knew that I set the over-under last week at 2.5 hours of in-ring wrestling. And I'll be dipped in shit. 1 hour and 57 minutes. They did it deliberately to sabotage my over-under. So out of protest this week, I'm not doing an over-under for AEW TV. Because, yeah, man, the 1 week that they don't give us a shitload of in-ring action is when I set the over-under. And, I mean, I got people watching me and listening to me that are, you know, they're placing their bets on these over-unders, man. These guys did it just to fuck with me. So we're not doing an over-under segment this week. Sorry, blame Tony Khan. But this week they are doing another four-hour block of programming as if it couldn't get any better. But hey,
hold on. May I?
Absolutely.
May I? Let me do the over-under.
Yeah.
Osprey.
Hang on. Let me get this ready for you. And then here we go. Put the graphic.
All right, let me see this chart and let me call this. Let me see this picture of what we're going to get from.
What all we're getting?
Yeah.
All right.
So Ospreay versus Strickland. Ospreay and Strickland, no clean ending there. It's going to be fuckery with Hangman Adam Page.
Yep.
Hurt Syndicate versus these clowns. These guys are going to get their heads kicked the fuck in. Uh-huh. They're going to get molested. Queen Aminata. Queen Aminata is going to be destroyed. She is enhancement talent. Not bad. I like her presence. Yep. She would probably be very good in Ring of Honor, but here, if you see her on this
channel, she has been good in Ring of Honor.
She ain't going to win. She's not going to win. When you see her on the main roster, she gets wasted. Toni Storm, Julia Hart. Interruptions. So no clean ending there because Julia Hart's over as well. So that means that this is only going to end in interruption. Yep. Oh, my God. Another one. Bowens. Okay, Bowens, he's going to get wasted, but Daddy Ass is going to save him. Daddy Ass is going to save him and hopefully keep the flies off of him. That is the Don Callis family, as Kyle Fletcher will destroy him. What we have here? Oh, the return of Sin Cara or whatever the hell he's going by. Yep. Miss, yeah, whatever. Same difference.
Yep.
Don't care. You know, don't care. This is like their piss poor attempt to like fucking the gap of losing the Lucha Brothers is not going to be filled by Mystico. So who cares? And then we're going to have Kenny Omega. Okay, versus Kazuchika Okada.
No, this is the contract signing.
Oh, I'm sorry. The contract signing for that. Well, no, there's going to be some sort of little fight or some bullshit in between.
Oh, of course.
Omega will get an upper hand on him. Will get a quick upper hand on him.
And obviously that all leads into All In Texas, as Jon Moxley will be facing Adam Page, the winner of the Men's Owen Hart Tournament. Elsewhere, we've got Timeless Toni Storm going against the winner of the Women's Owen Hart Tournament, Mercedes Moné. And lastly, Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega in a winner-takes-all match. So we're finally, hallelujah, unifying these titles.
The entire right side. Well, now, wait a minute. Winner-takes-all, that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily... International, intercontinental, whatever. The continental,
it's, international. It's going to be the intercontinental title.
They're going to call it that? Or are they allowed to call it?
Why wouldn't they?
No, no. All right.
Well, I guess they could call it, what, the continental championship? Or they could even call it the global championship.
No. Don't.
It's got to be intercontinental.
Yeah, all right. So the entire right side. Yeah. The entire right side. Moné, obviously, because Toni Storm needs to retire the gimmick for a while and reinvent herself or figure it out. And being as a guy who does Trump all the time and everyone wants me to retire it, you go, wait a minute. But then what do you do on the what do you do when you come out of that?
Exactly.
Because regular Toni Storm was like, Adam Page wins. Yeah, that's we already see this one a mile away. The only way this doesn't happen is if Swerve Strickland joins the Death Riders. And Omega. Why would I want Omega to win over Okada? Because Okada is a heel, and number one, they're not doing the subtitles for him. He's not been very vocal. He's not been showing up a lot. And I don't want Omega to chase any more than he has to. the champ gets a chance to sit on his ass. He needs to ease his way back in. He's still probably not 100% after his diverticulitis. He needs to be the champion. Let Okada decide where he wants to go from here. Does he want to realign with the elite? What is the elite now?
Yeah, exactly.
The only way Okada wins is if the elite fucks with Omega, which is likely. But then I could also see then Will Ospreay getting involved. I could see enough hands in the mix, and it's all in. We might get a return. You could see Eddie Kingston come back. You could see other people showing up. That's my pick. Eddie Kingston's going to get involved. He's going to show up.
There you go. I love it. All right. So let's take a dump with the social media. All right. So first things first, we already talked about R-Truth. Ron Killings at the beginning of the show. No cap. Hashtag we want truth was seen, heard, felt, and understood. Believe me when I say this, I love every one of y'all to death. We made history together. So that's fucking awesome to see, man.
Respectfully.
Yeah. Respectfully. And speaking of respect, congratulations to Sheamus and his Celtic Warrior Workouts channel on reaching 1 million subscribers on YouTube. So this man is, he's carving out a career for himself after he gets done with working in the squared circle with those YouTube workouts, and it's working for him, dude.
Give him the goddamn IC belt now.
Please. That shit needs to happen.
And give him and was he ever world heavyweight champion with that?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Not the new iteration of the belt, but he was the big gold ripoff.
And give him those belts.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of the international title, it made a journey to Eddie's grave as Dom took the belt to his father's grave and shared a moment with Eddie Guerrero and the IC Championship. To his father's grave.
Took me a second. I went, what the fuck? What?
There you go. There you go. And also, we got Chad Gable nearly breaking kayfabe. Saying yesterday was a special day for me for so many reasons, new experiences for both myself and my buddy Americano. Other than him, luchadors don't like him, never will, but I've come to respect them. I felt alive like never before. I fucking agree. Those dudes went out and killed it in the main event at Worlds Collide. Highly recommend checking out that match if you hadn't seen it yet. And elsewhere, speaking of lookalikes, Tony Khan tweets out, welcome to the Jaguars, Trenton Irwin. And he says, there's something very familiar about you. I can't quite put my finger on it. And yes, that is the spitting image of Adam Cole right there in your screen. And if Tony Khan doesn't bring in Trenton Irwin for a guest spot on AEW TV, he's missing a golden opportunity for sure.
Oh, Trenton Irwin's going from the Bengals to the
Jaguars. From the Bengals to the Jaguars. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
you know what? I think there's a hot dentist he might be able to hook up with too in Pittsburgh.
Huh. Imagine that. Imagine that. And Ricochet. Speaking of hot gimmicks, this dude is fucking hilarious. Heel Ricochet is the best Ricochet. Some rando tweets out, my favorite part is we all know if someone like Roman or The Rock went to AEW, they would be an instant star running the company. And then Ricochet simply replies with, I'd have them in catering in a week.
Well, also he said he's ugly as hell, but he's not wrong.
Right. Exactly. So you got to love that. And taken from the vault a little bit. Huh? We got God. Finn Balor with a fan.
Why is he grinning like he's got something up his ass?
Take a look at the other person in the photo.
I know. Oh man.
You think Diddy brought the oil?
I told you I won't stop. Yeah, I told you that we won't stop. Drop them Irish draws, man. Get your knickers off. That's what they call them, my dude.
Oh God. Elsewhere, Kenny Omega doing work with Street Fighter 6 on S3. So dressed up in the Sagat cosplay. So yeah, looking interesting there. He
did all of the characters, even the female.
He did all of the fucking characters, bro.
So good, by the way.
Kenny is immersed in the gaming technology. It's so awesome.
And that's why you want him to be a title holder. You can, being a brand ambassador gives him a chance to recover. Yeah, he's traveling more, but he doesn't have to do as much in work performance, which allows him to transition, lets him get his footing out there and figure out where he needs to be as far as, does he go the cleaner route? Does he reform the Elite as baby faces? So many different ways you can do this. So
yeah, exactly. So many different routes you could go. And, you know, the thing that gets me is sometimes when you are come across things in the social media feed, they have no bearing on you, whatever. But I personally saw this week, and it felt like it was targeted because Chairman Cena on the ad for Displate, guaranteed that's not licensed.
Mao Zedong.
Chairman Cena from China. You know, if only we had someone here that could talk and tell us really about the inner workings of what's going on with Chairman Cena in China. Oh, wait.
You know, first of all, I didn't have time to put on my face. This is so disrespectful. See what they do to me? If that would have happened back then, Chairman Cena would have had you taken out and shot with AK-47s, okay? And it would have been, with me, it would have been a solid gold AK-47. It would, well, that's a Russian weapon, excuse me. We would have had a solid gold M16, okay? You know what? Yeah, I like that better. In fact, you know what? What is that N-17? What is that, rated N-17, the dirty movies? It would have been an N-17, okay? It would have been a lot bigger bullets, a lot faster, full automatic, fastest bullets that you've ever seen. It would have been stopping power like never before seen, okay? And what we've got to do is get rid of these bad wrestlers, okay? John Cena is making America great again. He's making America great again. He's the greatest of all time. So many people have said that. They said, you know what? He's the greatest of all time. He's got hundreds of more championship runs than Ric Flair. Even they don't even count the stuff that he did in Crockett Wrestling back in the 70s. That's how long Cena's been doing it, okay? He's been doing this since 1975, okay? People don't even know that. He wrestled Ricky Steamboat. He wrestled Andre the Little. He wrestled so many people, beat them all. He couldn't beat me. He tried to beat me back at the Silver Dome in 1983. He tried to beat me. Couldn't do it. Couldn't get the job done. Almost the greatest of all time. But Chairman Cena is going to make the WWE great again. He's got, 17 appearances left? They're telling me. Is it 17?
Yeah, it's 17.
17. Great. Appearances left, and then wrestling is going to be a shithole. He's going to turn the WWE into a third class shithole country. Okay, it's going to be like it's going to be really bad. It's going to be real bad stuff. Believe me, it's going to look like AEW now. Okay, it's going to be real bad.
Held back on a lot of what they could do.
Yeah, they definitely could. But right before we wrap up, I do have to make mention, this weekend at the Silverton Casino live, Sunday, June 15th at 5 p.m., will be the FSW Sweet 16 anniversary show. If you can't go to the venue itself, then you can check it out live on Triller. And you've got some great, great matches in there, man. This show is going to be headlined by Danny Limelight, the FSW heavyweight champion, going against Ice Williams in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Whoa.
And keep in mind, Ice Williams has that WWE ID distinction. So this match is going to have a lot of eyes on it. And yeah.
What do you mean the ID distinction? You lost me on that one.
So WWE has they've created the WWE ID program where they have tagged certain independent pro wrestlers from across the country. And they are it's essentially their way of telling the general public that these guys and ladies are on our radar. So so essentially they are all competing for the WWE ID championship at scattered events around the country. So definitely a lot of eyes are going to be on this match with Danny Limelight, the FSW champion, as well as with Ice Williams being in the WWE ID pipeline. So definitely.
But with Danny Limelight, you get the best valet ever. You get a 10-year-old kid as your valet, and she can do Hurricane Ranas, you know? So I don't know. Fuck Ice Williams, man. The other guy brings a kid, you know?
Dude, Danny Limelight is one of the most polarizing people that I've seen in FSW. You either love him or you hate him. And the one thing that you can't say is that he's boring. You can't say that he doesn't hold your attention. Whether you love the dude or you hate the dude, he's got your attention. You are locked in and you can't turn away. Whether that's, you know, with his daughter in the ring with him, helping him win the match by nefarious means or otherwise, with just his ability, man. That guy is so great. Also, like I said, Ice Williams, he's going to be going places, man. So definitely check out this show if you're in Las Vegas, Sunday, June 15th. That's next Sunday at 5 p.m. live from the Vail Pavilion inside of the Silverton Casino. If you can't make it, like I said, it's live on Triller. Also, give FSW a follow at fswvegas.com. And Rob, let's check into some final thoughts. Where are you going to be appearing this
week? Well, yes. Hold on. Let me get into my phone here because I do have a show.
Nice.
I do have a show, and it's going to be on July 5th at La Jolla. So LAJOLLA. It's on East Flamingo. And it's going to be hosted by Stella, featuring Lex Las Vegas, Mr. Respectfully himself, Mike Stiggs, Khalil Mack. And you can go on... for fuck's sake, what in the world is that? Eventbrite.com. And go look for the Four Horsemen of Comedy. Ages 21 plus. Tickets are from $12.51.
Hell yeah, man. And if people want to keep up with you and all the stuff that you're doing, what are your social handles so that they can follow you?
Vegas Trump Guy. And for anyone in the local comedy scene that is looking for me to battle another so-called Trump impersonator, we will do that. But whatever the outcome is, I don't give a fuck because I am the heel. I will still be Trump the next damn day. So if you want to fight me, Mr. Coda Hawk, you can do it. But I give nothing. So you either get your bragging rights or fuck off. Piss off, bruv.
Awesome, man. And so for me, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. Rob, we made it through again.
Yes. And nice. I would say probably in about 2 or 3 weeks, expect to see the return of Matt Michaels, some DeFalco files. I'm certain if we're going to be talking about post-June 15th, well, we'll definitely want to hear from Mr. DeFalco about all of the inner workings on this local wrestling scene.
Absolutely. And speaking of the DeFalco files, we will be having a new episode drop later this week with Joe DeFalco. So keep your eyes locked in on your Spotify or your Apple Music or YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, anywhere that you possibly check out the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. yeah, we're going to be dropping an episode with Joe DeFalco, and we're going to be talking about the 16th anniversary show. We're going to be talking about at the arena because, yeah, they're already booking shows for the FSW Arena for Mania weekend in 2026. So that should be a lot of fun. And yeah.
Have they ever taken it to the Silver Knights Arena?
So they have not, but I know AEW did an episode of Collision there.
Yep.
So, but yeah, there will be plenty of venues in the works and in the running next year, next April for Mania 2026. And yeah, it should be a good time. I know that I'm going to be holding back on getting my tickets. I highly recommend it. Rob, I know that you had mentioned that earlier, but I'm co-signing that. I got my tickets the week of the show. I highly fucking recommend waiting.
Don't buy early. The fear of missing out, FOMO.
Don't FOMO.
Don't FOMO it. Pay attention. As it gets closer, you can always see the seats that are left. And as it gets closer to it, uh-oh, we don't want to have empty seats. They'll sell.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
there for the experience, and the views are good. You'll have a good time. You'll have a good time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't get FOMO, and don't get FOMO for the Vegas Bad Boys, because we're going to be back here next week. Until then, guys.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.